ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. As we announced earlier, from today we'll be studying some selected portions of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The question may arise, why only some selected portions? First reason is, every Upanishad, unless they are very, very short Upanishads, and this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, as its very name indicates, Brihad means the biggest, and Aranyaka, that means a huge forest. So this Upanishad is so big, repetitions are unavoidable. So, we will not need to go through all the repetitions. That is the first reason. Second reason, as we had been discussing in most of the Upanishads, this Upanishad too contains lots of upasanas. Since we have been discussing about upasanas in the Taittiriya, in the Chandogya, and in earlier Upanishads too, in Mundaka, in Katha, etc. Only in Isavasya Upanishad, we do not get, excepting at the last part. So, this Upanishad is full of tremendous upasanas, and we will briefly touch here and there, so that just to remind the inner meaning of it, and also nobody can progress in spiritual life without going through the spiritual practice of these upasanas or contemplations. Only caveat is that we have to transform those upasanas into understandable and practicable upasanas of today's society, today's mindset. Third reason, that this Upanishad is so big, if we have to go through every mantra, it would take a long time. It is neither necessary nor is it advisable. Why? Because, I'll tell you what, there are, as we all know, many Mahavakyas. What is a Mahavakya? That which indicates the complete unity or identity of the individual soul. Each one of us are everything in the created being with Brahman. Because the effect is one with the cause. In fact, the effect is only perceived name and form. But if you remove the name and form, what remains is the cause alone. So, there are many Mahavakyas, but four have been chosen. And what they are and how they apply to us, we will be discussing quite briefly later on. But important point is, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad contains one of the most wonderful of the four Mahavakyas, which is called Aham Brahma Asmi. And the essence of the whole Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is I am Brahman. And to obtain that knowledge, we have to desire that knowledge. We have to approach a guru. We have to learn how we should progress or practice spirituality and put it into practice through rituals, through contemplations combined with rituals externally. And then the next step would be doing them mentally, internally, which is called Vanaprasthashrama. Learning stage is indicated by the first stage of human life called Brahmacharya Ashrama. And practicing them externally, physically, is called
the householder's life, grihastashrama, and slowly retiring and devoting more time, lessening the external rituals, but performing them mentally in even more concentrated way, is called vanaprasthashrama, and that leads to the next logical step, which is called complete renunciation, which is called sannyasashrama. So as I said, the essence of Brihadaranyakopanishad is Aham Brahmasmi. As Sri Ramakrishna's one sentence, essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita, reverse that word Gita and repeat it fast, and then you get the word Thagi. Gita reversed is Thagi. Thagi means Tyaga. Tyaga means, oh man, renounce your false knowledge about yourself and try to obtain self-knowledge, true self-knowledge, with the grace of your Guru, who is none other than Bhagavan. So that is why Brihadaranyakopanishad, even if somebody listens only to a little bit of it also, so it is Aham Brahmasmi, but interestingly, this Aham Brahmasmi comes at the, what is called, end of the four Mahavakyas. There is a order in which the Mahavakyas, though independent, should be followed. I will be talking about it very freely. Now, what are these four Mahavakyas? Mahavakya. Vakya means a sentence or a saying. Maha means the greatest. There cannot be anything greater than this saying. There are hundreds, but our wise rishis have chosen only four from four different Vedas, from four different Upanishads. So each Mahavakya is the very essence of all the Upanishads, so to say. So if we understand these four Mahavakyas, as if we have understood, at least intellectually, the essence of all the Upanishads. For example, the entire Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna also has many Mahavakyas. Many examples are also there. But Sri Ramakrishna's five commandments, the goal of human life is to know God. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean? He said it's used the word Ishvara Sakshatkar or God realization. What he means is Sakshatkara means Darshana. Darshana means becoming one with the deity. You cannot think of God standing in front of you, nearer or further away, and you are standing, he is big, you are small. That is only ignorance, because you are limiting God to a particular place, particular size, particular time. He has become an object limited by your mind, time, space and causation. But the real understanding is that He is infinite. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Ekam, Eva, Advitiyam. He is one without a second. And if that be true, I cannot be different. Nothing can be different. So I am one with entire creation. I am one with God. There are no three. I am. This is the essence of Mahavakya. We discussed earlier also, there are four Mahavakyas, but really, as I said, there are many number of Mahavakyas, but four have been chosen, and that has become a tradition. So, what are these Mahavakyas? Where do they occur? Even though we have spoken about them, every time we have to recollect. So, here comes first Mahavakya is called Prajnanam Brahma. And as I said earlier, I see an order in it. This is the first Mahavakya, leading to the second Mahavakya, leading to the third Mahavakya, leading to the final Mahavakya. Complete identity with reality. So first is called Prajnanam Brahma. Wherever we see consciousness, that consciousness is nothing but Brahma. The word for consciousness is Jnanam. So in one framework, this is called Chit. Sat, Chit, Ananda. But if we take Taittiriya Upanishad, especially the second chapter, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Jnanam is the consciousness. If we are not conscious, then we do not know even our own existence. So, this Prajnanam Brahma is very well known in the circle of the scholars as called Lakshana Vakya. What is Lakshana Vakya? A statement of definition. Definition of what is Prajnanam. This Mahavakya defines the nature of reality. It tells us that the ultimate reality is not an object, but pure consciousness itself. As an illustration, if you put on the light in a dark room and imagine the room has got hundreds of objects, generally many objects will be there. So every object is different from every other object. But the light that illumines, that reveals these objects is one. Similarly, I see a tree through my consciousness. I cannot see unless consciousness activates it with the consciousness which looks at it. As we have seen in the Kena Upanishad also, that Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshushah Chakshuhu, it is the eye of the eye, it is the ear of the ear, and ear of all the sense organs. So, without consciousness, we cannot even become aware of our own selves. And that consciousness doesn't differ even if you are perceiving a billion objects, billion stars, billions of galaxies. The consciousness which perceives is one, and that which the consciousness perceives can be any number. That is why it is called Lakshana Vakya. Prajnanam means pure consciousness. And this leads to the second step. So where is this consciousness and what is my relationship with it? That is beautifully expressed in this second Mahavakya, which is called I am Atma Brahma. By the way, I forgot to mention, where is this Prajnanam Brahma to come? So it belongs to the Rig Veda. It is available in the Aitareya Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 1st section, 3rd mantra. This second Mahavakya is, we have seen, because we have studied Mandukya Upanishad. In the Mandukya Upanishad doesn't have many chapters, only one chapter, 1st chapter, 2nd mantra. I am Atma Brahma. So this is called the statement of contemplation. We have to contemplate. I am that consciousness, because I am, even to say I have to be aware. And only after consciousness, everything comes. Therefore, first I know I am, and then I am seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, working, walking, grabbing, etc. Everything that I do is added to that I am. That I am is nothing but this pure consciousness. Atma means my own consciousness is Brahman. There is no difference between my consciousness and Brahman. So first is consciousness is Brahman. Second step is I am that consciousness. Therefore, if Prajnanam is Brahman, I am Brahman. That's why this is called Sakshatkara Vakya, direct realization statement. It points directly to the self within and identifies it with the totality or Brahma. It is often used in deep meditation to bridge the gap between the internal and the external. That means whatever I see, that is also Brahman. And this second Mahavakya is commanded by the Guru. When the disciple approaches the Guru and when the Guru finds the disciple ready, sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, he who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications, such a one is known as Adhikari, a fit disciple to receive Shravana, and that Shravana is the Mahavakya Shravana. The Guru tells, what does he tell? Tat Tvam Asi. And this occurs in the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, and in from the 8th, begins in the 8th section, Tattvamasi Shvetaketu, 9 times it is repeated as part of the Upakrama Vasamhara. How do we know what is the subject matter being discussed in the Upanishads? There it is called finding out what is the subject matter by applying the 6 indications, Shadlinga. How it begins, how it ends, how it is repeated, how it is praised, etc. We have seen that also. So this third Mahavakya called Tattvamasi, if we separate the words, Tat means that Purnam Brahma, Tvam, you, the individual consciousness, not the body, not the mind, but the pure consciousness within you, and that Brahman consciousness, Asi, you are one, because in the infinite consciousness of Brahman, there is no different consciousness, different awareness. So this third Mahavakya comes in the 6th section of the Chandogya Upanishad. It belongs to Samaveda and it comes in the 6th chapter, and section 8 begins with mantra number 7. So this is called also otherwise Upadesha Vakya, instructional statement. In this famous dialogue, the sage Uddala Karuni instructs his son Shvetaketu, repeating this phrase 9 times to emphasize that the Tat, that the cause of the universe, is the same as the Thou, the individual. The Jiva and the Parama, Paramatma, are one and the same. And finally, this is called what we call Shravana. The teacher instructs from now onwards, think deeply, become one with it. That's called realization. And for that, the disciple has to do deep manana. And that manana is called, first part of the manana is to remove any possible doubt. And it may take long time. And many of us have to know, even to understand that I have a doubt. Because most of us claim that I have no doubt. I have complete faith in God. And that is a mistaken statement, ignorantly issued statement, because if I have faith in God, and that God is everywhere, and that God knows everything, and that God is having all the power to help me, to rescue me, to save me, and He is of infinite compassion, Dayasagara, I should not have fear. Prahlada had never fear. Hiranyakashipu had always fear, because Prahlada knows God is everywhere, so He is right within. That is why when Draupadi prayed in the Kaurava Sabha, immediately Krishna made His appearance. Where from He came? He was there only. But He became visible and Draupadi had complete faith. So, there is a beautiful analogy here. Krishna, as the Bhagavatam describes us, used to play with gopis. Once the gopis for observing Katyayani Vrata, and part of that Vrata is, they should take bath with clothes on. But they disobeyed that commandment. They left their clothes outside and went to take bath. I think they were thoroughly enjoying themselves. But Krishna came to help them. So He stole all the saris and took them up into a high branch of a tree. And when the gopis came out, they were astonished. Then they looked up, because immediately their suspicion turned. Somebody must have taken. Then they looked up, saw Krishna, and they covered their private parts with hands. Bhagavan said that you have to lift up your hands and take refuge in me. Women feel shy to show themselves like that. But what Krishna said, I know you believe, you say, you claim that I am Antaryami. But you never think that I know everything about you. You think your body is unknown to me? Is there any secret part of your body outside or inside of which I am not knowing? If I am Sarvantaryami, then I am Sarvajna. Then they realized, surrendered themselves totally, and that is what some people say of Draupadi. She lifted her hands and said, Lord, do whatever you like. and immediately infinite number of latest design series started appearing, and Dushyasana fell down unconscious because he was not able to do what he wanted to do, all by the grace of Bhagavan Krishna. So, what are we talking about? This Aham Brahmasmi, a person has to first of all clear all doubts. Do I really believe in God? Do I really believe that He is an infinite ocean of bliss? And He is my mother and father. Tvameva matacha, pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha, sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya, dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam, mama deva deva. Do I believe in it? If I believe in it, then I cannot do anything immoral. I cannot even think of doing anything immoral. All my selfishness should be destroyed. Am I still having all these things? In fact, manana is to find out what is obstructing my way forward. And there is only one thing. My inadequate understanding of what is God. What is my goal? And if I want to become God, then I must become identical with everything. And the practice of that identification with everybody, everything, is called Sarvatma Bhava, Brahma Bhava. And that is called, a modern scientist, I do not know how much they understand, holistic attitude. So this Aham Brahmasmi, which occurs in this Shukla Yajurveda in chapter 1, section 4 and 10th mantra. 1, 4, 10. By the way, we all know there are four Vedas, but actually, because of some peculiar odd story, there must be actually five Vedas. So, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharvana Veda. And what about Yajur Veda? There are two Yajur Vedas because of the story of Yajnavalkya. So, one is called Krishna Yajur Veda. We have seen Taittiri Upanishad, etc. And another is Shukla Yajurveda, to which this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belongs. Isavasya Upanishad also belongs. So there must be Rig Veda, Krishna Yajurveda, Shukla Yajurveda, Sama Veda, and Atharvana Veda. But because most of the contents, excepting very few differences, both Vedas practically are what is called copies of each other. They are of the same content. And that is why they are not considered as two separate, distinct Vedas, but one particular Veda. But this is called Anubhava Mahavakya. That is to say, who can say I am Brahman? Only when the manana is totally over, all doubts are cleared. And when all doubts are cleared, the indication would be, I do not want anything excepting realization, my true nature. Why? Because manana convinces us that everything is unreliable, therefore mithya, therefore unreal, therefore changing. I cannot rely upon it. This concept of what is changing, I have discussed in my past classes. No, never expect. So, my family members will be with me forever. My friends will be with me forever. That's not the only thing. Can I rely upon the love? How many times loving couple quarrel? How many times parents and children quarrel? So, sometimes they quarrel, sometimes they make up, sometimes they love. So, nothing is permanent. So, I cannot rely upon this. Of course, this body is not permanent. Mind is always restless. And therefore, there is only one thing which never changes, which runs through all the three stages, Jagrat, Svapna, Sushupti, that is called pure consciousness, called also Prajna, Prajnanam. So this is called Anubhava Vakya. At the end, by the grace of God, when a person truly says, I do not exist, neti, neti, I am not the body, body idea disappears. I am not the mind, mind idea disappears. I am not neither the sthula, nor sukshma, nor karana shariras. That is the essence of the Nirvana Ashtakam by Shankaracharya. Mano buddhya hankara chittani naham shivoham shivoham. So that is why it is called, when everything is negated, what remains? Like in the story of the, you are the 10th man, I am the 10th man, that is called Anubhava. Then the fear that one of us is lost, none of us is really lost. And that brings tremendous amount of joy. Even in ordinary matters, you know, you urgently need an object, a piece of paper, a letter, a password, whatever it is, and you are desperately searching, you have forgotten where it is, and suddenly it comes at some point of time, and what a relief, what a great joy comes. So this is called Anubhava Vakya. This is how I would like to think Prajnanam Brahma should lead to the next one. I am Atma Brahma. You are that consciousness. And the Guru comes and says, you are not merely individual consciousness. There is no such thing. You are that infinite consciousness. Tattvamasi. Which leads to, after of course sadhana, and of course the grace of God, Aham Brahmasmi. And what happens? Vidyate Hrudaya Grandehi. Chidyante sarvasamshayaha, kshiyante chasya karmani, tasmin drishte paravare. Bhagavan Krishna says, tato yadi parangatim. When my grace falls upon any devotee, he attains to that supreme state of mind from which there is no return at all. So this is the Brihadaranyakopanishad. The essence of it is Aham Brahmasmi, and that is what we need to understand by going through all the step by step. Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atma Brahma, Tattvamasi, and Aham Brahmasmi. Now let us have a bird's eye view of Brihadaranyakopanishad. This Brihadaranyakopanishad belongs to the Shukla Yajurveda. The Yajurveda, astro division, Krishna and Shukla, the black and the white. Every Veda, practically whether it is Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharvan Veda, have many shakhas. And many shakas have also disappeared in course of time. So Krishna Yajurveda, as we said, Taittiriya Shaka, Katha Shaka, where those particular respective Upanishads occur. The Shukla Yajurveda belongs to Kanva Shaka, Madhyandina Shaka. Normally, different shakas have different mantras. But the special feature here is that Brihadaranyakopanishad, whether it is Kanva Shaka Brihadaranyaka or Madhyandina Shaka Brihadaranyaka, both shakas, excepting for some minor differences here and there, the two are almost the same. This Brihadaranyakopanishad belongs to the Kanva Shaka of the Shukla Yajurveda, White Yajurveda. And who is the author? Yajnavalkya is the author of this entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And we have also seen the story of this very same Yajnavalkya at the beginning of the Taittiriya Upanishad, how that Upanishad obtained its name. So what happened? There was a great person, extraordinarily brilliant, and that is completely provable when we go through the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So it's called Yajnavalkya Vaishampayana. It's one of the most famous legends in the whole history of the Vedas. The entire Shukla Yajurveda is attributed to this Yajnavalkya. And this Yajnavalkya has another name called Vajasaneya. Why? The teaching given by Yajnavalkya is called Vajasaneyi. Yajnavalkya is known by Vajasaneya, another name. And what is given out by Vajasaneya is called Vajasaneyi. So why this name? The reason is for this name is that, as we know, that there was Yajnavalkya was a disciple of a great rishi. That was even before the Taittiriya Upanishad came out. And that rishi had many disciples. That means Yajnavalkya had many brother disciples. And the guru had committed a serious crime earlier. And now he wanted to expiate what we call that get rid of that sin. They believed in it. So, for that purpose, he wanted to perform a special rite. So he called all his disciples and said, my children, I am not able to perform. You perform it on my behalf. So One version of the story goes, Yajnavalkya was the best of the students with vast memory like a modern AI, and he was most intelligent, most studious, but somehow a bit of egotism, I am superior to all of this, has entered into him. So it is said, he exclaimed, addressing his guru, Gurudeva, there is no need for others to work for it. I alone can perform this ritual. The guru perceived the arrogance, the egotism, and he said, you are not worthy to be my disciple. The greater the learning, the greater must be the humility. Vidya dadati vinayam. The more one obtains knowledge, the humbler he becomes, because the more the curtain is removed, we see how much more and still more is there, and in comparison I am nothing. It is said of Darwin that, sir, you have discovered some of the best things. And he said, no, I am like a person sitting by the side of a sea. Somebody is thirsty, I just give a little bit of water from the sea. But the water is the source and it is infinite. So the guru, as a punishment for that, he said, whatever I have taught, you have learned from me, give it back to me. Yajnavalkya, immediately he vomited, as it were, all this knowledge. And then the other disciples assumed the forms of tittiri, partridge birds, and each one could swallow as much as that bird can swallow. So that is how the science that Yajnavalkya vomited came to be known as Taittiriya. Tittiri means partridge bird. But that cannot be the real story. There is no question of vomiting. If you know something, there is no question of giving it back. But you can say, I won't use it, like modern patent. So if somebody has given you some knowledge, you cannot use it. And then we have that injunction. You cannot sell your Office 365 to anybody. It is only given to you, and you have to, if you want, you use it. That's all. It is called owning the software. And such a strange situation rarely occurs. But there is an incident in the life of Holy Mother. Once a disciple who temporarily had gone out of his mind said, who was initiated by Holy Mother, here is the mantra. You take the mantra. I don't want your mantra. Take it back. Holy Mother said, all right. Write it on a bilva leaf and offer it back to me. But can a mantra be really taken? Then the disciple started weeping, realizing what an enormous mistake he committed. He started sobbing and said, Mother, what is going to happen to me? And Mother said, my son, whether you discarded me or not, I will never forsake you. You have nothing to fear. I am your mother and you will always be my child. So really speaking, some external object can be given back, but knowledge cannot be given back. But we can say that do not use this one. Do not teach it to anybody. So this is the story that comes. What did Yajnavalkya do? He became sad, but he was a great soul. So since his guru had taken back whatever he learned, he turned to the very source of knowledge, who is called Surya Bhagavan, a light. And he did lot of tapasya, and the sun god was pleased with him, and then he taught him afresh entire that Shukla Yajurveda. So the name of the Surya in Sanskrit is called Vajasani. Vaja means food. Sani means giver, giver of the food. We know well that because of the sun only, life is possible. Life is possible because of food. And all food comes directly or indirectly from the sun only. Since the sun gives us food and energy, he is called Vajasani. Therefore, the disciple of Vajasani is Vajasaneya, and the teaching given by Vajasaneya is called Vajasaniyi. Hence, the entire Shukla Yajurveda is often called Vajasaneya Samhita. So it explains, this story explains there can be a split between the Guru and Sishya, which is most unfortunate. That is why while studying, praying with a Shanti Patha, Sahana Avatu, Sahana Ubhunaktu, etc., Ma Vidvishavahai, may we not hate each other. So, there is also a split, that is the first split. Second split is the two main branches of the Yajurveda. So, one Yajurveda became two Yajurveda, going by the names Shukla and Krishna. And Vaishampayana, that is Yajnavalkya, was one of the greatest teachers of the Yajurveda. So, that is the story. So, what is the lesson we have to learn? The display of ego and the perceived insult to his fellow students deeply angered. And the Guru, sir, became angry with this ahankara manifested in Yajnavalkya. So, it is not good to be disrespectful either to the Guru or the other students. So, do not use that. Give it to other people. Of course, this is one version. The other version is much milder and better version. His teacher asked him, I am not able to do it. The other disciples, I have asked them to perform a special rite to expiate my sin which I have committed in the past. But you will teach them in my stead because you have learnt everything. So, he summarized the whole thing, like nowadays AIs do the summarization, correction, etc. And he gave them in digestible forms. And that is how they have accepted it, because the three patrige means their capacity to understand is very, very small. That is what we need to understand here. So, in our physical world, knowledge is abstract. Once you know something, you cannot unknow it. However, in the mystical context of this story, the Veda is seen as a living, potent substance. So, therefore, it only means the more we learn, the humbler we become, we have to contemplate. Is why we go growing or not growing. So, that part which Yajnavalkya gave up goes by the name of Taittiriya Samhita and belongs to Krishna Yajurveda, in black or dark Yajurveda. Now, as I said, Yajnavalkya turned to Suryadeva, pleased him by his grace. The dormant potentiality became manifest in the form of this marvelous understanding. So, one should be careful about ego. Another meaning of it, that when human teachers are no longer an option, that is, if no teacher is available, sincere seekers can find the truth through direct contemplation of the divine, either in the form of the sun, or by the way, we had only the Saraswati Puja 2 days back, praying to Mother Saraswati, and according to Sri Ramakrishna, Ma Sharada is the embodiment of Saraswati. She is specially born to give knowledge in a most digestible form. The Gospel of the Holy Mother is the essence of all the Vedas in easily digestible summary format. So, whenever we read Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we are reading a part of the Shukla Yajurveda. That's what we have to understand. And this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is divided into three chapters. Each chapter is called a Kanda, and each section is called a Brahmana. And many Upanishads differ by different names. For example, in Taittiriya Upanishad, we have seen Valli, Siksha Valli, Brahmananda Valli, Bhriga Valli, etc. So, each chapter has many sections which are called Anuvakas. Here they are called Brahmanas. Brahmana doesn't mean the caste Brahmana, but it simply means sections within a particular chapter, and the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is divided for the sake of convenience into three parts. It is called Madhukanda, Munikanda, and Khilakanda. In the first part, the Madhukanda, the primary teaching is Upadesha Brahmagnana. Therefore, it is called Upadeshakanda. In this world, everything is interconnected. The holistic attitude. All the five elements, the sun and moon, human beings, etc. in this world are completely dependent on one another. Total interdependence is the world. If birds do not exist, we do not exist. So we have seen this one. Especially there was an American writer and she wrote, I think it is the spring, something like that. I cannot recollect now. And she outlined people were using DDT, the result of which was birds and worms died. Because worms died, birds died. Because birds died, pollination died. Because pollination died, the trees on the both sides of a river particularly, they all die. And the river overflows and destroys everything. Forests die. So this is called everything is connected. So you cannot destroy one thing and then try to keep other things. And this is very well nowadays being understood. Ayurveda is a holistic medicine, therapy, because it takes the whole which is supposed to be a cure for a particular health problem, health issue, whereas the Ayurveda, the allopathic medicine, it extracts what it identifies as the main counter agent, but because of the lack of the other components, it produces violent reaction. Nowadays, people are understanding it. That's why Chinese have adopted beautiful methodology. Hindus have adopted. The Muslims have adopted their own system. But it is all holistic therapy. So, everything in this world is dependent upon everything else. Guru is dependent upon the disciple and vice versa. Parents are dependent upon the children, vice versa. And the manufacturers and the customers and the scientists and the politicians, everyone is completely connected with each other. And this marvelous concept of interdependence has been beautifully brought out in Vedanta in the form of Pancharina, Pancha Maha Yajna. A beautiful concept. We will briefly discuss about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.